Chapter 118. He says, apostrophe Mrs. Plornish then interpreted, addressing her father and Pancks with mild condescension, that he has met a bad man, but he hopes the bad man didn't see him. Why? Apostrophe inquired Mrs. Plornish, reverting to the Italian language. Why, oh, bad man no see. Apostrophe, apostrophe, padrona, dearest, apostrophe returned the little foreigner whom she so considerately protected. Do not ask, I pray. Once again I say it matters not. I have fear of this man. I do not wish to see him. I do not wish to be known of him never again. Enough, most beautiful. Leave it. Apostrophe, the topic was so disagreeable to him, and so put his usual liveliness to the rout, that Mrs. Plornish forbore to press him further, the rather as the tea had been drawing for some time on the hob. But she was not the less surprised, and curious for asking no more questions. Neither was Mr. Pancks, whose expressive breathing had been laboring hard since the entrance of the little man, like a locomotive engine with a great load getting up a steep incline. Maggie, now better dressed than of yore, though still faithful to the monstrous character of her cap, had been in the background from the first with open mouth and eyes, which staring and gaping features were not diminished in breadth by the untimely suppression of the subject. However, no more was said about it, though much appeared to be thought on all sides. By no means excepting the two young Plornishes, who partook of the evening meal, as if their eating the bread and butter were rendered almost superfluous by the painful probability of the worst of men shortly presenting himself for the purpose of eating them. Mr. Baptist, by degrees, began to chirp a little, but never stirred from the seat he had taken behind the door and close to the window, though it was not his usual place. As often as the little bell rang, he started and peeped out secretly, with the end of the little curtain in his hand, and the rest before his face, evidently not at all satisfied, but that the man he dreaded had tracked him through all his doublings and turnings, with the certainty of a terrible bloodhound. The entrance, at various times, of two or three customers, and of Mr. Plornish, gave Mr. Baptist just enough of this employment to keep the attention of the company fixed upon him. Tea was over, and the children were abed, and Mrs. Plornish was feeling her way to the dutiful proposal that her father should favor them with Clo, when the bell rang again, and Mr. Clennam came in. Clennam had been poring late over his books and letters, for the waiting rooms of the Circumlocution office ravaged his time sorely. Over and above that, he was depressed and made uneasy by the late occurrence at his mother's. He looked worn and solitary. He felt so too, but, nevertheless, was returning home from his counting house by that end of the yard, to give them the intelligence that he had received another letter from Miss Dorrit. The news made a sensation in the cottage which drew off the general attention from Mr. Baptist. Maggie, who pushed her way into the foreground immediately, would have seemed to draw in the tidings of her little mother equally at her ears, nose, mouth, and eyes, but that the last were obstructed by tears. She was particularly delighted when Clennam assured her that there were hospitals, and very kindly conducted hospitals, in Rome. Mr. Pancks rose into new distinction in virtue of being specially remembered in the letter. Everybody was pleased and interested, and Clennam was well repaid for his trouble. But you are tired, sir. Let me make you a cup of tea, apostrophe said Mrs. Plornish, if you'd condescend to take such a thing in the cottage. And many thanks to you too, I am sure, for bearing us in mind so kindly. Apostrophe, Mr. Plornish deeming it incumbent on him, as host, to add his personal acknowledgments, tendered them in the form which always expressed his highest ideal of a combination of ceremony with sincerity. John Edward Nandy, apostrophe said Mr. Plornish, addressing the old gentleman. Sir, it's not too often that you see unpretending actions without a spark of pride, and therefore when you see them, give grateful honor unto the same, being that if you don't, and live to want them, it follows serve you right. Apostrophe, to which Mr. Nandy replied, I am heartily of your opinion, Thomas, and with your opinion is the same as mine, and therefore no more words, and not being backwards with that opinion, which opinion giving it as yes, Thomas, yes, is the opinion in which yourself and me must ever be unanimously joined by all, and where there is not difference of opinion there can be none but one opinion, which fully no, Thomas, Thomas, no. Apostrophe apostrophe Arthur, with less formality, expressed himself gratified by their high appreciation of so very slight an attention on his part, and explained as to the tea, that he had not yet dined, and was going straight home, to refresh after a long day's labor, or he would have readily accepted the hospitable offer. As Mr. Panks was somewhat noisily getting his steam up for departure, he concluded by asking that gentleman if he would walk with him. Mr. Panks said he desired no better engagement, and the two took leave of Happy Cottage. If he will come home with me, Panks, apostrophe said Arthur, when they got into the street, and will share what dinner or supper there is, it will be next door to an act of charity. For I am weary, and out of sorts tonight. Apostrophe, ask me to do a greater thing than that, apostrophe said Panks, when you want it done, and I'll do it. Apostrophe, between this eccentric personage and Clennam, a tacit understanding and accord had been always improving since Mr. Panks flew over Mr. Rucks back in the Marshalsea yard. When the carriage drove away on the memorable day of the family's departure, these two had looked after it together, and had walked slowly away together. When the first letter came from Little Dorrit, nobody was more interested in hearing of her than Mr. Panks. The second letter, at that moment in Clennam's breast pocket, particularly remembered him by name. Though he had never before made any profession or protestation to Clennam, and though what he had just said was little enough, as to the words in which it was expressed, Clennam had long had a growing belief that Mr. Panks, in his own odd way, was becoming attached to him. All these strings intertwining made Panks a very cable of anchorage that night. I am quite alone, apostrophe Arthur explained as they walked on. My partner is away, busily engaged at a distance on his branch of our business, and you shall do just as you like. Apostrophe, thank you. You didn't take particular notice of little Ultro just now, did you? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Panks. No. Why? Apostrophe, he's a bright fellow, and I like him, apostrophe said Panks. Something has gone amiss with him today. Have you any idea of any cause that can have overset him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you surprise me. None whatever. Apostrophe, Mr. Panks gave his reasons for the inquiry. Arthur was quite unprepared for them, and quite unable to suggest an explanation of them. Perhaps you'll ask him, apostrophe said Panks, as he's a stranger? Apostrophe, ask him what? Apostrophe, apostrophe returned Clennam. What he has on his mind. Apostrophe, I ought first to see for myself, that he has something on his mind, I think, apostrophe said Clennam. I have found him in every way so diligent, so grateful for little enough, and so trustworthy, that it might look like suspecting him. And that would be very unjust. Apostrophe, true, apostrophe said Panks. But, I say, you oughtn't to be anybody's proprietor, Mr. Clennam. You're much too delicate. Apostrophe for the matter of that, apostrophe returned Clennam laughing, I have not a large proprietary share in Cavaletto. His carving is his livelihood. He keeps the keys of the factory, watches it every alternate night, and acts as a sort of housekeeper to it generally. But we have little work in the way of his ingenuity, though we give him what we have. No. I am rather his advisor than his proprietor. To call me his standing counsel, and his banker would be nearer the fact. Speaking of being his banker, is it not curious, Panks, that the ventures which run just now in so many people's heads, should run even in little Cavaletto's? Apostrophe apostrophe ventures? Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Panks, with a snort. What ventures? Apostrophe, these Myrtle Enterprises. Apostrophe, oh. investments, apostrophe said Panks. Hey, I didn't know you were speaking of investments. Apostrophe his quick way of replying caused Clennam to look at him, with a doubt, whether he meant more than he said. As it was accompanied, however, with a quickening of his pace, and a corresponding increase in the laboring of his machinery, Arthur did not pursue the matter, and they soon arrived at his house. A dinner of soup and a pigeon pie, served on a little round table before the fire, and flavored with a bottle of good wine, oiled Mr. Panks' works in a highly effective manner, so that when Clennam produced his eastern pipe, and handed Mr. Panks another eastern pipe, the latter gentleman was perfectly comfortable. They puffed for a while in silence, Mr. Panks like a steam vessel with wind, tide, calm water, and all other sea-going conditions in her favor. He was the first to speak, and he spoke thus. Yes. Investments is the word. Apostrophe, Clennam, with his former look, said ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am going back to it, you see, apostrophe said Panks. Yes. I see you are going back to it, apostrophe returned Clennam, wondering why. Wasn't it a curious thing, that they should run in little Ultro's head? Eh? Apostrophe said Panks as he smoked. Wasn't that how you put it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that was what I said. Apostrophe, eh? But think of the whole yard having got it. Think of their all meeting me with it, on my collecting days, here and there and everywhere. Whether they pay, or whether they don't pay. Myrtle, Myrtle, Myrtle. Always Myrtle. Apostrophe, very strange how these runs on an infatuation prevail, apostrophe said Arthur. And it? Apostrophe, apostrophe returned Panks. After smoking for a minute or so, more dryly than comported with his recent oiling, he added. Because you see these people don't understand the subject. Apostrophe, not a bit, apostrophe assented Clennam. Not a bit, apostrophe cried Panks. Know nothing of figures. Know nothing of money questions. Never made a calculation. Never worked it, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if they had apostrophe, Clennam was going on to say, when Mr. Panks, without change of countenance, produced a sound, so far surpassing all his usual efforts, nasal or bronchial, that he stopped. If they had? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Panks in an inquiring tone. I thought you spoke, apostrophe said Arthur, hesitating what name to give the interruption. Not at all, apostrophe said Panks. Not yet. I may in a minute. If they had? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if they had, apostrophe observed Clennam, who was a little at a loss, how to take his friend, why, I suppose they would have known better. Apostrophe, how so, Mr. Clennam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Panks asked quickly, and with an odd effect of having been from the commencement of the conversation loaded with the heavy charge he now fired off. They're right, you know. They don't mean to be, but they're right. Apostrophe, right in sharing Cavaletto's inclination, to speculate with Mr. Myrtle? Apostrophe, apostrophe, perfectly, sir, apostrophe said Panks. I've gone into it. I've made the calculations. I've worked it. They're safe and genuine. Apostrophe relieved by having got to this, Mr. Panks took as long a pull as his lungs would permit at his eastern pipe, and looked sagaciously and steadily at Clennam, while inhaling and exhaling too. In those moments, Mr. Panks began to give out the dangerous infection with which he was laden. It is the manner of communicating these diseases. It is the subtle way in which they go about. Do you mean, my good Panks, apostrophe asked Clennam emphatically, that you would put that £1,000 of yours, let us say, for instance, out at this kind of interest? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe said Panks. Already done it, sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Panks took another long inhalation, another long exhalation, another long sagacious look at Clennam. I tell you, Mr. Clennam, I've gone into it, apostrophe said Panks. He's a man of immense resources, enormous capital, government influence. They're the best schemes afloat. They're safe. They are certain. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Clennam, looking first at him gravely, and then at the fire gravely. You surprise me. Apostrophe, bah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Pancks retorted. Don't say that, sir. It's what you ought to do yourself. Why don't you do as I do? Apostrophe, of whom Mr. Pancks had taken the prevalent disease, he could no more have told than if he had unconsciously taken a fever. Bred at first, as many physical diseases are, in the wickedness of men, and then disseminated in their ignorance, these epidemics, after a period, get communicated to many sufferers who are neither ignorant nor wicked. Mr. Pancks might, or might not, have caught the illness himself from a subject of this class, but in this category he appeared before Clennam, and the infection he threw off was all the more virulent. And you have really invested, apostrophe Clennam had already passed to that word, your £1,000, Pancks? Apostrophe apostrophe, to be sure, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, replied Pancks boldly, with a puff of smoke. And only wish it 10. Apostrophe apostrophe, now, Clennam had two subjects lying heavy on his lonely mind that night. The one, his partner's long-deferred hope. The other, what he had seen and heard at his mother's. In the relief of having this companion, and of feeling that he could trust him, he passed on to both, and both brought him round again, with an increase and acceleration of force, to his point of departure. It came about in the simplest manner. Quitting the investment subject, after an interval of silent looking at the fire through the smoke of his pipe, he told Pancks how and why he was occupied. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.